That's right. Amen. Well, one thing I want to read real quick while we were working. I just felt like the Lord just dropped something in my spirit real quick. Just a reminder to us. It's in 1 John 3. It says, "We will know by this that we are of the truth and will set our heart at ease and set our heart at ease before him." 1 John 3, verse 19. I'm going to read a few verses. It says this, "And we will set our heart at ease before him, that if our heart condemns us, that God is greater than our heart. And he knows all things." Isn't that interesting? It's that God is greater than our heart. Condemnation is, you think of that condemnation, what it means and what it does to a person's life. By the way, I opened up a can of worms when I talked about not judging people or by their fruits, and so I'm going to have to clear that up this Sunday. So if that confused you, my apologies. So but I'm glad that we're going to talk about it this Sunday, because it's good about when do we judge one another. And I can tell you, it's not as much as we would sometimes want to at all. Because who's the judger or who condemns the brethren? Satan. So in certain circumstances, absolutely, there's judgments that got to be made. But anyway, don't want to get off of that. Just want to let you know that I'm going to clear that up, that mess I made. Apologize. Beloved, if our heart does not, then it goes on and says, so that God is greater than our heart. Amen? And he knows all things. He knows all things that we struggle with. He knows all things that's going on in our lives. And this he knows, too, that we belong to him. He knows that we've been purchased. Amen? That we're walking under the new covenant, under his blood. Isn't that good news? And when we understand that and realize that, our heart doesn't walk in condemnation. It doesn't walk in that in that attitude of, man, I just don't measure up. Or I've got to change certain things to get your love, Lord, or to be accepted by you. That is absolutely not true. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ or understand his grace and his love for you, you can't help but say, Lord, I don't want anything that holds me back from knowing you to the full potential of my life to stand in the way. Amen? Thank you for that, Lord. Then it says, beloved, if our heart does, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So he goes on to saying, God is greater than our heart if we're dealing with condemnation. And then it says, and whatever we ask, we receive for him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. But you got to say, okay, what's that mean? Well, the next verse, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Amen. That thing of believing in the shed blood of the cross, believing that it's enough for what I'm dealing with, the power of the gospel and the cross. And what the thing that believers are always going to deal with the most, or will keep people from coming to Jesus Christ, is condemnation. There's only one way of coming out of condemnation, is believing that the shed blood of the cross is enough to wash my sins away and start me on a path to change my life in every capacity, in every way. If it sounds too good to be true, it's because it is too good to be true in our mind that Jesus can absolutely fill us with joy and strength and peace and remove condemnation. Or you can also call it regret. You can also call it those things that would weigh on us that no way God could forgive. Aren't you glad that he can forgive every sin? So we thank you, Lord, that we're free from condemnation. Let me say, if you're dealing with condemnation, or things from the past, or things now, or things that are going on in your life, you know what you do? He said, you just give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. He shed his blood once, and that's all it took. He shed his blood, then he went into the throne room of heaven, and he put his blood in the throne room of heaven. And so now when we pray, when we're seeking and praying God, our prayers come before him as a sweet savor. He loves to hear our prayers. He loves to hear our worship. Amen. So we thank you for that, God, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If that's you here today, I know that as we were in worship, as I was just listening, I know the Lord put that in my heart. If you're dealing with condemnation, just know that only through Jesus. You can't join a church. You can't do enough good works. There's nothing you can do to make yourself good enough to get rid of a guilt and a conscience. It is only done through the blood of Jesus. And that's enough. I thank you, Lord, that that's enough. And so we thank you that, Lord, we do not carry a spirit of condemnation. Those things that would try to speak in our mind, in our ears, right? We tell it to shut up in Jesus' name. So we thank you for that, Lord, as we honor you tonight. Do you love him? Amen. We're in the book of John. And we're in chapter 3. And we are in session 12. Amen. And we're in John chapter 3. We're starting now at verse 4. John chapter 3, verse 4. And if you remember right before this, verse 4 and verse 3, Jesus had said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a person be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born. Can he?" Right? He says, "Can he?" Amen. That's what he says. And "Can a person enter again and when he is old? Enter his womb a second time?" Jesus said in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly." He says, listen up. "Truly, truly, I'm telling you. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." When you're in your mother's womb, you're in that water, right? You're in that, what do they call it? I forgot. Are you in the uterus? So the baby lives where? In the mother's womb, excuse me. And what's around that womb? My apologies. Water. Well, there's a lot of water and fluid, right, Mike? Am I right? Am I wrong? Okay. It's the womb. Thank you for that correction. And so he says, Jesus is born of the water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nobody can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. And so you guys, I'm preaching and talking to the choir, aren't I? That you must be born again. Amen. It says, and then Jesus says in verse 6, that which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. And so we know that everybody's born once in the flesh. Amen. You're born, you come out of the womb, and that's born of the flesh, but not everybody gets born of the Spirit. Many people just remain in the flesh. They know about the flesh part. Doesn't matter who you are, you know you're born of the flesh, right? Your senses, the five senses you're aware of. But then Jesus is saying you've also got to be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. I like in 1 Corinthians 15:50, it says that, "Now I say this, brothers," this is Paul, "and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So the thing being is that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Being born in this world, being a person in this world is one thing, but being with him for eternity is an entirely different prospect. Amen. It's an entirely different world. It's an entirely different thing for each individual. So we're born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. So you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The wonderful thing is you had no choice about being born in the flesh, amen? But you do make a choice about being born of the Spirit. It's a decision. You've heard me say it many times. I've heard professional athletes and different people who are famous saying, "Hey, we're all God's children." And it sounds good and it sounds lovely, but we're not all God's children as far as inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, does God love every individual? Oh, yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why when you think about raising the kids in the love of God, saying, yeah, they've been born in this world. They've been born of the flesh. But as I raise them, I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to make sure that they are also born of the Spirit. Amen? And those that haven't been born of the Spirit are walking away or have walked away from God. Let me say this, that those that have given their heart to Jesus, that may be walking around out in the world, not walking with God per se. Did you know that they're still born of the Spirit? They really are. That means, you know what that means to me? That they're coming back. They're going to come back. And those that aren't born of the Spirit, this is what I have to say. They're going to be born of the Spirit because I have a promise to God that me and my household shall be saved. Born of the Spirit. I love what 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer body is decaying, and let me say this, I believe in health, God's divine health, in healing on my life, and in strength in my life, and the God's promises in my life regarding my body. What does it say in 1 John 3? I pray that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. But I can tell you that if you look at a picture of me that when I was 20 and now, you would say there's been a little decaying that's happened. Remember I told you when I was 40, I ran a foot race against a couple kids in their late teens and early 20s because I used to be a pretty fast runner. But as I was running, I felt like I was in slow motion as they were moving along at a much faster pace. See, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. Did you know that it's day by day by the Holy Spirit, by the God's power to live in you that we're renewed day by day? Did you know we need to be renewed day by day? Did you know tonight God's renewing us night by night or tonight, amen? As we were worshiping him, I felt my inner man being renewed, being refreshed, being touched by his presence and his Spirit, amen? Being renewed by the Spirit of God, renewed day by day. It says, verse 17, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Amen? While we look not at the things, this is so important, when you're born again, while we look not at the things which are seen. I've preached on this before. That doesn't make sense. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you're born again and his Spirit lives in you, when you've given your life to Jesus Christ, he starts giving you the ability to perceive and to see those things which are not seen in the natural realm by the Spirit of God that lives in you. You start to see people as God sees them. You start to look at your circumstances, not in the natural, not by what you see, but by his Spirit. You say, God, all things work together for good to them that love God. My God shall meet your needs, all your needs, according to his riches and glory. It says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. So when you're born again, when you're walking with the Lord, you're able to say, Lord, I know how this is going to work out. I am not going to look at things as I see them in the natural. But Lord, I'm going to see, this is what we see, I see your promises, amen? I see your promises coming to pass. Lord, I see you doing a work in my life, and I see you doing a work in the life of those that are around me that I love. Seeing things that you can't see in the natural. I love it says that everything that you see is temporal. It's all going to be done away with. One day, the elements of this earth are going to be burned, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Can you see that in your mind? Can you see that in your spiritual mind someday? It says that we're going to have a mansion. I don't know what that looks like, amen? I don't. But I see it in my spiritual mind. You know, when you're born again and you have the Spirit man in you, the Word of God becomes a picture. I don't know what Jesus looks like, but there's a picture in my mind. I don't know what the throne room looks like, but by the Spirit, there's a picture in my mind. I see things, circumstances, and people that look like things aren't going well, but I have a picture in my mind of those circumstances changing in Jesus' name. If I just look at things the way I see it, I'll be discouraged. Or I won't dream big enough. Or I won't pursue things with God if I just look at what I can see in front of me. I am so glad that God has given us eyes to see things that you cannot see in the natural realm. Amen? Amen. And the eternal things that you and I see. Eternal things. There's eternal things that we're walking in right now. We have the senses that we just see here, but man, we're walking in eternal things. That spirit, man, when you and I, when we pass away instantly, man, we're in eternity. We're in eternity. We won't have another minute here. It's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. And I think that I have passed through death to life because of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that I have no fear of judgment or punishment because of Jesus Christ. What we see, and then we, in an instant, things change. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see the unseen. I'm not being weird. I'm reading what the scripture says. Can I read that again? In verse 18, it says, while we look not, he said, not me. He said, I'm an apostle. I've got special powers. I've got a special anointing. I got special things that you guys don't have. No, that's not what he said. What did he say in verse 18? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Amen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to have eternal. Father, to see things like you do. Every struggle you have, when you look at it in the light of eternity, when you look at it in that light and it's in your heart, you do not give up or give in. Because you know that what the Word of God says, that our life is but a vapor. We're here and gone. If you've lived any life, you realize it goes by quickly, doesn't it? You know, remember when I was 20, and then 30, and then 35, and then you turn around, you wake up, and you're 55. And you say, how many more years do I have? A long life, but even if it's a long life, right? It goes by so quick. Our life is but a vapor. The things that we deal with today, the temporal things that Paul talks about, those things that press against us today, Lord, help us to see the eternal so that we can walk through that. Amen? So that we don't get caught up in that or discouraged, but know that you're with us, that you're going to get us through it. Everything that we're dealing with today is not going to last forever. I am telling you right now, when you see it in the light of eternity and you're looking at the things you can't see, in the physical, but seeing the spiritual, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you press through those things. Nothing will stop you. Because of God who made the world, or greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We don't give up, saints. We may stumble, we may be perplexed, we may fall down, but we get back up with joy, knowing that God is going to get past this, and looking at things in the light of eternity. Amen. I'm going to look at him with my chin up as I look at him face to face, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you believe he'll say that to you? When you see things with the spiritual eyes, that's what we have to look forward to. Have we done everything perfectly? No. Has there been struggles? Yeah. But I'm telling you, in Christ, in pursuing him, pursuing his purposes in the supernatural, come on in, son or daughter. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this day. Hopefully it's not for a while, unless he's coming back. But then I have a few people need to get straightened out. So, Lord, I'm sorry to be selfish. Lord, get them straightened up, then come on back. Am I allowed to say that? That's how I talk. That's how I talk. But we know he knows that hour, amen? Thank you, Father. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57, what's going to happen? We're talking about being born again. We're talking about the spirit man. Behold, I'm telling you a mystery. This is Paul. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable this is your body, must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And listen to this, brothers and sisters. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ the Lord. Father, thank you that we don't walk in the power of the law. We've been set free. Amen. That we don't walk under the curse of the law when you've given your life to the Lord by faith. How precious is our faith, saints? Our faith is the thing that allows us to see in the supernatural. It's allow us to want to say that, hey, no sickness shall come nigh my dwelling. Amen. It's that faith that says, Lord, you will provide all my needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, that's that faith that says, I don't care what happens in the world, I'm going to walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Simply by walking in that faith, for the just shall live by faith. Aren't you glad your faith is strong? You may be saying, well, my faith isn't that strong, but it says that you just need to, Jesus said, if you just have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be plucked up and removed and cast into the sea. Boy, mustard seed isn't very big. So could it be possible that we just have all the faith we need already? As I heard one pastor says, he says, if you're going to doubt, he says, do this, doubt your doubt. If there's anything you're going to doubt, doubt your doubt. And so, Lord, the faith the size of a mustard seed. To draw, going on to John 3, 7 and 8. John 3, we're going, chapter 3, but verse 7 and 8. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. So Jesus is talking to what? Nicodemus, right? He's a ruler. He's a leader in the church at that time, right? So he knows the old covenant. He knows the law. He's looking deeply into when the Messiah would come. And so Jesus is saying, don't be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. Listen to this, saints. And you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it is coming from and where it is going. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. When you're born again, you don't see that. See, but we're looking to the things that we can't see, remember? So it says the wind blows, you don't know where it comes. You can feel it hitting you in the face. It's coming from the north, it's coming from the south, it's swirling. You don't see it, but you sense the wind. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You don't see that Spirit living in you, but you know it has an effect on your life. Amen. You don't know where it came from. The Holy Spirit we can't see, but we can detect and sense his power working in our lives. Amen. So if you're looking to see something as far as being born again, God has given each man a measure of faith. We just simply say, I believe that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was enough. Amen. So in Nicodemus 3:9 says, Nicodemus responded and said to him, how can these things be? How is this? What you're telling me is like makes absolutely no sense because I can't see it. I can't see it, Jesus. I saw the miracles you were doing. I see all of that, and that's why I'm here undercover at night talking to you. But I can't see these things that you're talking about. I don't see them. Jesus answered and said to him, he kind of digs at him. He says, you are the teacher of Israel. So he was a leader. He says, you're the teacher of Israel. And yet you do not understand these things. Jesus, again, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen. Wow. And you people do not accept our testimony. Talking about all the other Jewish people there, right? He says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This thing of salvation is a spiritual thing. You can't perceive it. You can't grasp it. You can't. It's not tangible. It's like the wind. You, You know it's there, but you don't know where it's coming from. Amen? The power of God through faith and His Spirit changes everything for you and I. It's the thing that will change this nation. It's the spiritual, looking at the things that we don't see. Amen? Looking at the things we don't see in this world, meaning praying for this nation, standing up for the truth, and knowing God is doing things behind the scene that we don't see. We have to trust that He's doing things behind the scene that you and I don't see. I thank God that He's doing things on your behalf and my behalf that I don't see. How many times has an angel maybe helped me in certain situations? And maybe if you were like me, maybe your guardian angel sometimes had to work overtime. Anybody maybe had that? How many times did God's Spirit, His angels, do things on our behalf that we didn't see? But I know that there's been circumstances that it's happened. I know it. I know there's been situations, different things where God's power, His presence, His angels have been working on my behalf in the unseen world. You think if right now, if the lid of this ceiling if we had a vision, was just removed, and you and I saw into the spiritual realm what we would see, it would blow our mind. Mark, it might scare us a little bit. Amen? But even as we stand here, there's the angels, demons, angels doing God's bidding, demons lying to people, causing havoc on this earth, because we know it says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? So we know that the enemy, then we have the Holy Spirit touching people's heart, wooing people's heart. I'm the answer. You know, people whose lifestyle or preaching the word can, with the Holy Spirit touching, trying desperately to touch those people's heart, that they may say, Lord, I see. I'll give you my heart. And it's always just that step of faith, saying, Lord, I believe. I'm going to take that step of faith. I'm going to invite you into my life, believing that you've changed me. And then from there, taking steps into growth, under growth. If we saw the spiritual realm, it would blow our mind. But I'm telling you that spiritual realm, even though it may blow our mind or may be a little bit fearful, what's that scripture? It comes back that Jesus said, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Who's in me? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, don't worry, don't be fearful. He says, the world has come against me. He says, but I have overcome the world. Amen. Every temptation of Satan, Jesus overcame for my temptations that I yielded to. Everything that God was whipped on His back for the bruises and the sickness, not only on the outside of my body, but for the sickness of my soul, on those things that I struggle with or you struggle with, God took all those beatings and those blows that we would be victorious in the supernatural. See, what God did in the outside, what we could see, had an impact on what we can't see. See, people were looking at Jesus on the cross and were mocking Him, the Son of God, but He was desperately trying to do something for the unseen world, and that's what He did. So when He rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, there were those who saw, who were willing to see the unseen world, and those that simply were not. Aren't you glad that you're one saying here that, man, I believe in the unseen world? That I believe, although I have not seen Jesus, I know I will see His face. Amen. I haven't seen the Father, but I will someday. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him despised the shame, the pain, the punishment, so that you and I could be victorious over the unseen world. The pain that people walk in, the struggles, the condemnation, people who don't know Him don't realize it's the unseen world that's causing those things. They don't realize it's the enemy that's keeping them blind. They don't see that, amen? But as we pray for them, as we declare the word, we just declare, amen? I proclaim, I can't really always explain, but I can proclaim and let the seed of the word of God do what it does, amen, on hearts that will be changed. Some will not, but there'll be others that simply will. Amen. The unseen world. Thank you for that. So this this Pharisee who came at night, he could not see anything. But what he had been taught in the law and what he had seen and perceived and all the actions and the things they did in religiosity to make him right. So when Jesus started talking about any spiritual things, he could not understand. John 3:13. And then Jesus goes on. No one has ascended into heaven. He's talking about spiritual things, right? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven. That's Jesus, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes will have eternal life in him. So just as Moses, I can't get much in this. I have a whole section. I have a whole section I want to talk about here. But it would probably take us another 20 to 25 minutes. But Bill, can you show that picture I gave you? So just as Moses, so you guys know about this, right? I'll go this little bit. Verse 14, you don't have to bring up the scripture, Bill, but I'm just going to read it. If you could keep that picture up there. Verse 14, it says, and Jesus saying this, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes will have eternal life on him. Look at what happened there. And I'll read it next week. I'll go into what happened there. But is that kind of shaped like a cross? Yeah. And they put that bronze serpent up there. We'll talk more about it next week. And because of rebellion, because under the law and the curse of the law, and they were murmuring and complaining and talking about, we don't have any food. They got manna. They were complaining. They complained they didn't have food. Then they got manna and they complained, we're tired of this manna. And then it says snakes were sent and bit many of them, and they had to look at this to keep from dying. And so Jesus says, just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes will have eternal life in him. So that everyone who believes will have eternal life to him. I'm not going to go any further, but we'll stop there. So, Father, we just thank you for this. We thank you for your word. Lord, if anything, I know that you said tonight is, Lord, that you would help us not to walk in any condemnation. We can know grace, love grace, pursue grace. And how easy is it for condemnation to sneak into our hearts, to not measure up, to struggle in such a way that it gets us to stumble or back up. Lord, I pray that we, when we sense that, or if we're dealing with that right now, that we would put our trust, our faith, that we would allow our faith to grow in strength by saying, I'm overcoming this only by the blood of the Lamb, only by putting my trust in you, only by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in me, that makes me an overcomer. And I will not give up. I will not give in. And I will not allow the enemy's accusing voice bring condemnation. Because it says he who's not walking in that condemnation, amen, is walking in his peace and his rest. And it says, do you believe in God's commandments? And he says, do you believe Jesus is God? Do you love your brother and sister? That's his commandment. Father, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you for Thursday, for leading us with your wisdom. Lord, I pray that we begin to be a people that start seeing into the unseen realm a little more. Lord, you begin revealing spiritual things to us. Lord, that those little areas of our lives that were like Nicodemus saying, I don't understand, I don't get it, Lord, that you begin to reveal those things to us. Lord, I pray that we'd have a fresh hunger and a thirst in this day and age of what you're doing in your church, God, to see your will be accomplished on this earth through your church and through your people, Lord. It starts from being free from condemnation. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord.